Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshet-Arel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about the connection or interconnection between brains. We have different kinds of relationships and interactions with people, and today, we'd like to take a deeper look at the interaction between brains. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, today we'd like to examine what does it mean? What is an interaction between brains? It could be in very basic things in life when we talk to another person, when we try to understand another person. What happens when we tell someone else a story? And what I'm saying now is based on research. It turns out that our mind becomes like their mind. We think that our brains interconnect. This is actually the current perception in science that speaks about the unification of minds or brains, which says that the more we understand, feel the other, the more our brain starts changing and becomes like the brain of the other person. From outset, our brains are very different. But once there's this click and you finally understand me, then your brain starts working in a way that's very similar to my brain. This was said by an Israeli brain researcher called Professor Uri Chasson. And today we'd like to understand, what does the wisdom of Kabbalah have to say about the connection of minds, the interaction between minds, the one common mind that researchers already talk about? And I'd like to open with the question of, we're different people with different perceptions, with different ideas, our brains built differently. And still, we understand each other. How does it work? In terms of the wisdom of Kabbalah, what happens that one brain can connect with and understand another brain? According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, all of us are a part of one body. Where whatever you can imagine in the universe, the still, the vegetative, the animate on earth, and also mankind, anything and everything on all possible levels, it's all a part of one body. This body is called Adam in Hebrew, literally meaning man. This is how it's called, Adam, regardless of us, by the way. And in this body, we're all interconnected. We act together. We influence each other. And on different levels, in different ways, by different forces, in a way that no one's free, but that everyone's interdependent. This is what happens. This is actually the system, how it works, how it is. Now, as a result of being together, sure, everyone influences everyone else. And the question here is, how can we learn about the rules, the forces, maybe about the periods of the development of this body and how it influences each and everyone? This is actually what the wisdom of Kabbalah deals with. Okay, so I want to go back to the question that we started out with. You said something, I listened. I try to listen and to follow, and I have a mind and I have my own thoughts. The moment I understand you, or don't exactly understand you, what happens between our brains? Interaction. Again, we are in one body, meaning whether we like it or not, Everything that exists in this system called myself, Michael, and everything that exists in your system, that's called Oren, it's all interconnected, both directly and also through every man and woman and the still, the vegetative and the animate, all throughout the universe. Everything with everything, everyone with everyone, whether you like it or not, we all influence each other. Okay, let's take two situations. There is the situation where certain person's talking, another person is listening, and they understand each other. In a different situation, maybe another person's listening, but he can't grasp what that person's saying, and there is no click. Science shows that if I've grasped your thought and between our minds there's a kind of click, then while you're speaking, my mind becomes similar to your mind. It gets the same form. If there's no click between us, I don't grasp what you're saying, then this process doesn't happen. Obviously. I program your brain by influencing you in such a way that it will be ready to perceive my message and will work according to that message. And why in certain cases you can influence it and in other cases you can't? Well, this depends on many conditions that have to do with the system and our interconnection. And besides, it's not only our minds. We also have different moods, different relations, corporeal, spiritual. There are many conditions. The formula is not that simple. That I'm like a radio receiver that's tuned into a certain station, and then I as if start playing it. It's not that simple. But will I or won't I want to, the extent to which I understand, I'm willing, I feel, do I have the desire for it, do I force myself to maybe hear, grasp, perceive? There are many conditions. And also this is what we understand. And there is so much that we don't understand because we're already in that system. We didn't build it. We didn't form or shape it. But the system is already thoroughly formed and it has actions and a process of its own. And we know that we're moving in a certain direction, but we don't exactly know how are we sailing in that direction and what's ahead of us. It's all a big question mark. That maybe we understand 1% or 2% in the best case scenario from the entire system that we're in and from all of the forms of interactions and interconnections that we're realizing. You as a person that has a broader perspective on life, what kind of parameters can influence the process of understanding between people? Love. Can you explain this because it kind of sounds unrelated? If I relate nicely to someone who wants to transmit something to me, I want to perceive what that person wants to transmit to me, I really absorb their entire message. Suppose like a mother from her baby that she wants to understand him, feel him. What does he need? What does he want? So there's no other word but love. Love is a kind of open, strong, limitless connection. This is on part of the listener and also on part of the person delivering the message, both the one delivering and also the one receiving the message. It has to be in both of them. If we want to have a good and nice communication, good and nice connection, we need mutual love. And then what happens to their brains? Then, of course, they connect. Do they want to be connected? Do they want to be similar? Do they want to understand each other? Above and beyond all problems and doubts and maybe mistakes and their connection, that There are certain disturbances. They want to overcome all of these things. They want to be interconnected without any disturbances in the middle, for there to really be a direct connection between the two, so that no foreign force will interfere with their connection, really from heart to heart. A person's natural inclination is to want to listen to another person and be in a state of listening? No. The natural inclination is, first of all, to keep who and what I am. This is my protective force that doesn't want to receive anything from the outside, but according to what my needs are. So I would like for my mind to remain as is and not to be influenced by your mind, for example. I don't want to be influenced by anyone. So naturally, my inclination to listen and understand, it's not a natural inclination. I have to make an effort. Yes, on condition that I'm convinced that it will be beneficial to me. So today I do it only in cases where I think that it's worthwhile to make the effort, not only today, always. Is there any other option? No, only to convince myself to be sensitive to certain information coming from a certain source. First of all, do I have free choice in this respect? Meaning, understanding the other, can I choose to listen or to understand a certain person and not to listen and understand another person? Yes. And who will I be inclined to listen to? Depends on your preparation. It depends on the extent to which you appreciate someone, the extent to which, to begin with, you're willing to listen to that person because you understand that it's important for you. Is it related to people that are and aren't like me? Yeah, but these are already details. Similar or not similar, are they important to me or not? Maybe they're not similar to me, I hate them, but I should listen because they can really harm me or something. So just to understand, the matter here is the importance, not the similarity. The importance of the message. So after I take into consideration all of these parameters, I came to the feeling that I want to perceive something that someone else is saying. Now, if you can only explain about my brain, what happens there? After I feel that I want to listen, to grasp what you're saying, what's going on in my mind? What's happening there? The brain wants to work on a certain wave, the same wave that the source of the message is working on in order to fully perceive it. They really have to work on the same frequency to the extent to which they can compel each other. Suppose if it's a professor in the university, then I sit and I listen and I really try to enter his mind and to somehow be more like him, because even externally wise, we see that it happens this way, because it better helps me to understand him, grasp him, perceive him, to be more in sync with him, to the extent to which I like him, I appreciate him, the more I open myself up to reception. And suppose you opened yourself up to a certain extent and he starts transmitting. What happens in your brain? After you opened yourself and the transmission begins, I start filling my brain with what he transmits. And to the extent to which I like him, love him, appreciate him, I open myself up, and to the extent to which I hate him, I can even listen, but I won't hear him. But only according to what I think. That's the problem. If you can explain a bit. Well, it's obvious. If I hate someone, as if don't hear them, I can hear that person and to really turn it into something completely different, not what he says, but what I'd like to hear from him. Usually it happens when we say that we don't understand each other. Now, research says that if you have a click with someone, then your mind, your brain, really becomes like theirs. Both of us think the same. He begins a sentence, I finish it, or he doesn't even begin the sentence. I speak instead of the other person. So if I understand correctly, the optimum understanding is if we really transmit on the same frequency. Of course, because we have then similar vessels, communicating vessels. What he says, I can say, and vice versa. How does that happen? It happens because each of us is ten sefirot, a special vessel. And then if I'm in a certain spiritual state and he's in the same spiritual state and it's possible, then, of course, he and I, we create the same waves, and he can really be instead of me, and I can be instead of him. But still, he and I will do things a bit differently. I according to my inner structure, and he according to his, but still in the same direction toward the same goal. To continue, you started with saying that all of us are part of that same body, same system that's called Adam. I want to base this on researches, and then I'll ask. Researchers say that there's no one brain that acts as a single unit, but all brains are interconnected in a single network. We've discovered that we're much more interconnected than we used to think. That when people work with each other, their brains are almost like one object, and one of the researchers describes it as being interconnected all the time. We're more a single organism than the collection of individuals. There are no individuals. Exactly. So up until now, we talked about each of us being an individual. No. Each person is an individual, but he's interconnected by thousands and thousands of muscles and tubes and cords, doesn't matter how you call it, with others. And everyone's interconnected with everyone else and everything. And besides this connection, there's just one small point, which is a person's desire to receive pleasure, his very small egoistic desire, that this is the only thing that differentiates him from others, and everything else are threads over threads of connections between him and everyone else. And so there are such egoistic points that he connects to directly, and there are those that he connects with through those that are closer or more distant away, but eventually he connects to every will to receive of the still, the vegetative, the animate, and human beings that exist in reality, whether they're alive or dead, or it doesn't matter in what way we see or identify them, this is the way that we're interconnected with everyone. According to what you're describing, we're much more interconnected than we are individuals. There's no such thing as an individual. The only individual part about us is that grain of egoistic desire that is typical for each and every person. But besides that, it's only our inner connections. And the experience that we have is the complete opposite. Our experience is lack of understanding of each other. It's called, I've seen an inverted world, meaning that we have to invert our vision into the true and real one, to discover that we're really interconnected in anything and everything with everyone else. And how will that change the way in which we grasp life? Suddenly I feel that I depend on everyone, and everyone depends on me. Do you understand how much it changes our paradigm, our attitude toward life, society, toward myself? Suddenly I discover that I'm no longer free. I depend on everyone, and everyone else isn't free either. They're all interdependent. So We want to change our state. Our state is bad because our connections are bad. To the extent to which we arrange good connections between us, the entire situation will change. The world will change. Can you explain this in relation to the connection between minds? There's the mind and there's the heart. These are two sources in a person. So there's our connection between the minds and there's our connection between the hearts. And they too are in a certain interconnection between them, the minds and hearts. And then we can both influence the hearts through the minds and to influence the minds through the hearts. In short, through different kinds of interactions. So, up until now, you explained that our brains are interconnected. We don't feel it. Were we to see the real picture of the connection, which is completely total between all of us, we'd understand that we're all completely interdependent, and it would change our entire perspective and perception of life. And it's a good thing that we don't see it. Okay, now we don't see it. So I want for you to explain the connection between these two levels, because now you're adding another system, not only that our minds are interconnected, there's also a connection between our hearts. So what's the relation between the quality of the connection between the hearts and the connection that happens between the minds? Between them, there's a certain kind of connection. In Hebrew, it's called mocha veliba, literally meaning mind and heart, two sources by which each of us influences everyone else. What's the role of the system of brains and the role of the connection between the hearts? The main thing is the connection between the hearts. This is how we mainly influence each other in a close and tight way. And what's secondary is the connection between the brains, the minds. And we can put it this way, that between the hearts, it's really hard for us to change our connections. And we can change these connections by making changes between the minds. Our heart is much harder than our mind. Our heart is much less flexible than the mind. Our ego is in the heart, and the mind only helps the heart realize what the heart wants. The heart wants, the mind thinks. So the mind is, it's an additional system that helps us work with the heart. Without our mind, we wouldn't be able to change or control the heart. How does the mind soften the heart? By showing the heart what's to its benefit and what's to its detriment, meaning what's worthwhile doing. Were we able to take this more rigid and less flexible system of the connection between the hearts? Were we able to improve the relations between our hearts? Doesn't matter how. How would that influence our brain capacity, the connection between our brains? The brain opens the heart and increases the influence of the heart by 620 times. Increasing what by 620 times? The extent to which our hearts influence each other. Through the mind? Through the mind. Can you explain this in simpler words? We can influence the desires of others by our own desires, by the power of thought. Suppose that by the power of thought, we can improve the connection between our hearts. Suppose we do that. How will that influence the connection between our minds and our abilities as thinking human beings? To the extent to which we're interconnected in that same thought, principle, to the same goal, in that same, let's call it theory, then to that extent, we can also be connected in our hearts. And suppose we succeed and advance a bit in that and we'll have a better connection between the hearts. Then that's all you need. How will that project on the connection between the minds? the heart will force the mind to be focused on building a certain program in which both the hearts and the minds will be all interconnected as one man and one heart, and one heart and one mind and one goal, and then we'll better understand each other more easily? Of course, not only more easily. We don't have to understand each other. We'll simply feel each other. I feel you like I feel myself. And how will our minds then be interconnected? Then, through your mind, I start understanding who I am. Meaning what? This is complicated. Before that, if I think only out of my own mind, out of my own desire, I don't know who I am. Only through you can I understand, can I get back to myself and understand who I am. This is something that psychology is a bit engaged in, but it's still very far from it. And this understanding will bring your mind to a more advanced place than it is in right now. Of course, what will it give you in life that you don't have now? It's not only that we add our minds to each other, but that we add a different degree of perception of reality, of processing the information, of looking at reality in a multifaceted way. It's like you have a microprocessor that works one way, or it can work on processing 1,000 different bytes of information in parallel. So it improves the quality and the depth of thinking on the spiritual level, not even on the corporeal level, where it's about how many actions can we perform like it is with our underdeveloped computers, where all in all, our entire advancement is about increasing our actions. But here, we're entering a new quality. It really opens a new world of thinking. This is especially what we learn about in the wisdom of Kabbalah. In this, we reach a state where we can connect two opposite things together. And then, in the connection of these two opposites, we start feeling a higher, upper reality. Dr. Lightman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.